Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. And the thought for today is, why do we have war? Okay. Thought for today. Why do we have war? We have war because of one thing. Because we stick our nose in other people's business. We stick our nose in other people's business. Now, you take a little child and you put him in the play box, in the sandbox. And he plays in the sandbox. 1, 2, 3, 4 years old. Happy as a lark. He's got his little truck or his little vehicle or whatever he's got, this stick that he's moving around. He calls it what he wants to call it. Doesn't matter. He calls it anything he wants. And he drives it up and drives it down, and then he will push everything over and start all over again. And he'll just enjoy himself. And he will giggle as he does it. He'll say, hey, I got a new idea. And so, need a new playing field. You know, an artist sometimes gets close to that. An artist is working in his studio or wherever he's working. He's painting a picture. And he looks at the picture. He says, that's not what I want to say. So what does he do? He takes his turp rag and goes whoosh over the whole canvas, wiping the thing clean, or he paints a new picture right on top of the old one. He doesn't care. The old one can still be there, totally, and he paints right on top of it. Usually it was dry. If it's not dry, he just turps it off. And then he's ready for his canvas to start again. And he may do that once, twice, three times. You say, my goodness, I saw the pictures. They were great. Each one was just wonderful. Each one was, but it did not please the artist. Now, the artist is able to do that because it's his. He's able to do it because it's his game. The artist is 1, 2, 3 years old in his consciousness. He is not possessed by what he has done. He is open and free to move into new dimensions and new areas himself. And like the child playing in the play box. He plays by himself, just has the ball. His friends come in, and they want to play too. Fine, you play too. You don't bother me. I'll just go right around you. And they go around each other as though they're not even there. Because each is playing in their own world, in their own universe. Now, when they're 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, and they haven't been destroyed by their parents, by the word what?
You can't do it.
Possession. By the word possession. That's your truck. Don't let anybody take your truck. Don't let anybody play with your truck except you. When you come home, you bring your truck home now. That's your truck, your truck, your truck. You know, and they get possession by it. Now, parents aren't doing what they feel is necessary because they don't want to buy a kid a new truck every time he goes to the play box. You know, he leaves his truck there or somebody else borrows it and takes it, and he should bring it home. But what they're teaching the child is irrational possession. Now, when the child is playing in the play box and his friend says, here, I have this old box. I'll trade it to you for your new fire engine. And the boy says, sure, I can build a house out of that box and I can do all sorts of things. I'm going to take your box. So he comes home with this crazy little box and his parents say, where's your fire engine? Oh, I traded Johnny for this box. Isn't this a neat box? Boy, look at this box. Isn't it wonderful? And the parent says, no, I throw those boxes out all the time. That's not wonderful. But Mom, this is my new house. This is my new, you know. And so the possession is built into our consciousness. And it's a possession of logic and reason that parents have for doing things. Beatrice ends, where are children the happiest when they're with Mommy in the kitchen? Where are they the happiest? In the drawer of what?
In the drawer.
Pots and pans.
Pane.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Children are happiest in the drawer of pots and pans. They're banging the pans around. They're having fun. You don't know what they're thinking or what they're doing. They're just having fun. Now, you didn't have to go buy them a new fire engine. You didn't have to buy them all sorts of toys and all sorts of gadgets. You didn't have to buy them their own personal computer and all these other good things. You know? Where did all these kids learn to use computers before it was a time for parents to buy computers for kids? On their parents' computer. When their parents weren't around, the kids were in there playing on the computer. And they don't all bang on it. They bang on things that they can't have. But they were touching it and they were saying, I wonder how this, what does this do? What does that do? You know, pretty soon they wipe off the whole computer. And the parents come home and they say, must have been the dark out and have to restart the computer, reset it, you know, no big deal. And you see, they don't, but you know, the kid did it, get the kid away from there. Well, the kid is learning and the kid is enjoying it and having just lots of fun. And it's really fantastic. So now, this possession that we learn as children, we carry on into our adulthood. And the possession that we learn is not just a possession for our own things. It's feeling that we have to protect Mary and Paul and Peter and Joan's right to have their things. If some big person comes along, big child comes along and steals something from somebody else, we have to help them get it back. We have to help them be protected from this kid that's taking their toy. And so that's the beginning of, you know, wars. That's the beginning of a life of misery. And so we go to the big guy and we say, hey, you can't do that. And all the little guys gang up on the big guy. You leave her alone. You leave her things alone. And you get out of here and you don't do that. Well, now, that's great. But along comes a little boy who doesn't know about this possession stuff. And he sees this big boy taking Mary's toy, and he says to him, you like that, huh? And the big boy says, no. Well, why are you taking it? Oh, just to be mean. Well, why are you being mean? You're such a nice guy. You know, ambassador. You're such a nice guy. What do you mean I'm a nice guy? I'm not a nice guy. I'm a mean guy. Because that's what they're playing, and that's what their daddies are teaching them. You got to fight in this world, and you got to hit the other guy, and you got to really knock him down, and pull his pants down, and make him feel embarrassed, and you know, do all sorts of nutty stuff. And you know, this is what parents teach their kids. Really, this is what fathers teach their kids. It's strange, but they do. And the father can be so sophisticated; he can be president of a university or president of a business or an industry, and he still has these primitive attitudes about him that he grew up with. Now, so, with that sort of attitude, the world is going to constantly be in a state of turmoil, a state of anxiety, a state of lack of peace. And now, we ask ourselves, how can we be ambassadors of peace? How can we bring peace on earth? Well, it starts right with our own thinking. And our own thinking is that all is in divine order. Our own thinking is all is wonderful, all is beautiful. Our own thinking is, why did you take Mary's bike? Because I'm mean, you know? I'm big and tough and mean, you know? And I can do that. But, hey, wouldn't it be more fun? Let's go and pick some flowers and take them to Mary, shall we? Oh, come on now. That's nothing stuff. No. You want to see a big smile on Mary's face? You want to see Mary, the happiest girl that you ever thought? Let's go pick some flowers and take them to Mary. And so, sure, why not? You know, I mean, big kids are a fall over. You know, they're a pushover for doing nice things. But we don't know that. We think they have to be tough. Their father and mother says, you got to be tough. You got to stand up for your rights. And so they pick flowers and they take them to Mary. And what happened inside of this big guy when he picked the flowers and took them to Mary? He became a lover. He became a giver. instead of a taker. And he gave unimportant things, you know, just some flowers that he picked from somebody's garden. It didn't matter, but he gave it. And then Mary, she says, "Oh, you're so wonderful," you know, and he melts again, you know. See, all the tigers in the world, they melt. You know, little Black Sambo was a little boy living in the jungle. You may have heard the story. And when little Black Sambo was sent out by his mother to go to the store and get some stuff, he went to the store and brought it home. And then he got chased by a tiger. And so he ran around a tree. And he ran around a tree, and he ran around a tree, and he ran around a tree, until the tiger turned into butter. And he took the tiger, the butter, home to his mommy, and said, "Look, here, we got the food from the store and butter." "Well, how did you get that butter?" You know. "Well, this tiger chased me around the tree, until he turned into butter." And the mother said, "Well, for goodness sakes, that is really something. We'll let it go for now." She couldn't believe that. And it's okay, but it was there. The butter was there. Now, where does he get butter? In the middle of the jungle, you know? Where does he get butter? Anywhere. Out of his creation, out of his consciousness. And if she could just curry him, beautiful things would happen. Well, you know, Little Black Sambo was a restaurant that I used to love to go to in Corona del Mar. And then, because the blacks objected to Little Black Sambo, they changed the name to Denny's. And that was the creation of the Denny's restaurant, and they always have lots of butter in the Denny's restaurants. You know, it's a true story. That's a true story. You start looking at these things, and you say, how did that big boy become so gentle and so loving? You know, I remember him when he was a little boy. He was a toughie, you know, because he had to fight everywhere. Because he was bigger than the rest of the kids, and he had to lord it over them, and he had to be tough. But some little lovely being came along and said, "Hey, let's take her some flowers." And all of a sudden, he became soft but oh so gentle, you know, big but oh so gentle. And this is how we can help to bring peace on earth. Now, each one of us, we can look at every nation on earth. And we might say the struggling nations. And we can see them abundant. We can see the struggling nations are a family. They want to live in that country, in that area, whatever the reason it is, but they want to live there. So we see them a happy family. Now, we don't give them things. Because when we start giving them things, then they feel that we feel that they're inferior. But what we do, we give them our love. We look at them and we say, "Gee, you're a neat country. You're wonderful. Can I come visit your country?" "Oh, one, my goodness, you do things different than we do in our country. But hey, I love the way you do things, you know. It's great." And then you really do love it. You really do love the way they do things. And you start seeing everybody doing what they want to do because it brings them happiness and joy in their hearts. And that, of course, brings happiness and joy to your heart because you see them happy and joyful. And as you do, then you are bringing about peace on earth one step at a time. Now, when Anita talked to the ambassador from America, wasn't it? The ambassador from America in New Zealand, as she talked to this man, he told her his one role of being an ambassador was being a peacemaker, of someone who found good in everywhere that he went. In every country, they're good people. They're wonderful people. They're beautiful people. And we are one with you. We are good people. We are wonderful people. And pretty soon, nobody could argue with anybody else because everybody was being themselves and having fun. And as they did that, what happened? Why do nations have ambassadors? Because the president or the leader of any country is thought to be wanting things from the country. And the ambassador is thought to be what? Making peace wherever he goes, or she. The ambassador is making peace. Do you know who was the ambassador of England for a while?
Mr. Kennedy.
The elder Kennedy. He was ambassador, and his kids were with him while he was ambassador there, and they were trucking around, 9 kids, you know, and they were playing around in England while he was being the ambassador there, and they were learning the trade. You see, they were learning to wear tall hats. That's where they got the tall hat bits, you know, and they brought that to America as part of their tradition and stuff like that. But, you see, being an ambassador is one of the most wonderful things all of us can do, at being an ambassador. Now, let's start out being an ambassador with our, well, let's say mate, with our husband or wife. If we're an ambassador with our husband and wife, we are a peacemaker. Now, that's pretty good. Now, if we are an ambassador with our children, we teach them peacemaking, how to be a peacemaker. Not to be touched, not to be possessed by things. They share. They give. They share all that they have. And more comes. That's just the way it works. And so, what do we do with our grandparents? What do we do with our parents? What do we do with our world, the people that we work with every day? What do we do with our educational system? What do we do with our legislative system? I tell you the story. In Nigeria, it has bad press, and the almanac calls their legislators corrupt. And I told them, get that straightened out right away. You don't need to send a message around the world that your legislators are corrupt. You want to send the message around the world that your legislators are the ideal legislators of the world. And so I talk with these people, and I tell them, tell your children, tell your people, tell everyone, we have the finest legislators in the world here in Nigeria. Nigeria has the finest, and they are interested in the people. They're interested, you see, and we're planting seeds. But it starts with an individual. And as I started with the individual, what did they do? What did Sam, who is a very prominent man in business and politics there in Nigeria, he took me to the king's house. He took me to the various legislators. He took me all over, and everywhere he took me, I told the story. And everywhere, the seeds were planted. And they, that's a new attitude about our legislators. You know, because traditionally, legislators are supposed to be whatever they're supposed to be. And so now we're starting a new tradition. And a new tradition is one of peace, one of harmony, one of goodness. Now, who are the legislators? The legislators are the mummies and daddies of the world. The legislators are the ones who set the laws in motion. They're the ones who set the rules in motion. They're the ones who set the attitudes in motion of one country toward another. And so, if you look at one country and they're fighting, infighting among themselves, you go in there and be peace, or you don't even have to go there. You can just say, you're peace. I see peace. I surround you with my pure white light of love. And peace is all everywhere. And it'll be. But if you look at it and you see that the fighting is going on, you exacerbate that fighting by your attention to it. You give the fighting more power, more power, more power by your attention. And think of how rotten you are. You really are very, very, very rotten. To turn on your television and your videos and watch anxiety shows. Watch shows of anger. Shows where children are taught to use guns and children are taught to use weapons but that's part of the world, that's part of life, that's part of growing. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. My son would go to play at his cousin's houses, and they would have their toy guns and toy weapons. And I say, well, we don't have those at our house. Don't you have some other toys? Oh, sure. and then they watched the video, and the video was some violent videos that Tiger Man does this or that man, and that, you know, bang up shootout things. And I say, we don't watch those at our house. Don't you have some Disney shows? And sure, they had them. And so we watched them. You see, somewhere you have to start. Now, do I have the ideal son? Yes. Is he the greatest peacemaker in the world? Yes. Does he go after money? Does he go after principle? Does he go after anything? No, he lives them. He just lives it. And the things, he has people that he works with in his shop, and these people are drug addicts, these people are liquor, alcoholics, you know, they're all these various things. And what does he do? He just say, hey, I see you clear of that. And within a very short time, those people no longer desire drugs, no longer desire alcohol. It's true. And it's not only one time, it's again and again and again. You think he'd get tired of it. But no, he doesn't see any alcoholics and doesn't see any drug addicts. He doesn't see any thieves. He doesn't see anybody who is doing bad stuff. People sometimes take his inventions and go out and reproduce it for themselves and sell it in their name without giving him credit. He says, that's okay. He says, I even got better ideas than those. And he goes out and does the better ideas. And he lives without tension, without anxiety. He lives peace. And he is certainly one of the great emissaries of peace for the world. Because that is who he is, and that is what he is teaching himself to be. And that is just beautiful. My goodness sakes. And I'm in the middle of giving a talk here. And it's a wonderful talk, all about peace and love and joy and harmony. So, call back later and we'll talk to you. So, peace. Peace is all that matters, isn't it? Peace is all that makes any difference in this world. And that's what makes the difference to you and to me and to all of us. So, let's learn to be the peacemakers. Let's learn to be the ambassadors, at least of our own life. And if someone in your world is upset about anything, be the peacemaker. If someone in your world is shook up by what other people are doing, just say, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. No, be at peace. Be at peace. Keep your nose out of other people's business. Put it in your own business of peace and love and harmony. And we can bring peace and love and harmony on our earth right now, right this minute, starting with us. And that means that we don't go against anything. We don't go against all the war movies and all of the interest that people have in violence and things like that. We start seeing things as peace. Jesus had a time for himself too. Jesus had to tell his disciples, no, 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 I'm not coming to be the king of the Jews, as they cut off the soldier's ear, you know. And he put it back and he said, knock it off. He said, we are not violent. We are peacemakers. And you are the peacemaker. And if you call yourself followers of the teachings of Jesus the Master, then you're a peacemaker. And if you're a peacemaker, there's no room in your world, in your life, for anxiety, for frustration, for angry thoughts, for possession, for anything that is going to make you uptight in any way. Go and be at peace. And my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives the peace unto you, but as the Christ in you brings the peace to you. Of all good. Shush. All peace. And so it is, and so it will always be. And I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.